straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio here in East County. Today, we are going to be talking about mountain lions, and we've got a real expert with us, Renee Owens with WildZoneConservation.org. She is a wildlife biologist, and she's been doing some studies on mountain lions. Renee, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So let's start by talking about the status of mountain lions in California, which has changed quite a bit in recent years.
Yeah, there's a lot of buzz going on about mountain lions, which tends to happen when you get something like the recent event in Penasquitos Canyon, where one was shot after it harassed some people. And so when that happens, there's a whole lot of misinformation. So one of the most important things is to talk about what we do know about this otherwise rather mysterious creature.
Definitely. And the other end of the spectrum, on one hand, there's concerns raised anytime there's a lion that, you know, that maybe attacks somebody or stalks somebody, has happened there. But also, the other side of the coin, people get concerned when we start to see mountain lions getting killed on the highways. Just in the last couple of weeks, there were two of them killed crossing a freeway in LA, and one right here in East County trying to cross Highway 67. And coincidentally, that happened in the very same spot where I saw a dead mountain lion on that same curve in the road a couple of years ago. So I understand about 10 years ago or so, they banned hunting of mountain lions. Although people were still allowed, say a rancher or someone could get a depredation permit to kill one if it was going after livestock or pets or something.
Yeah, so let's start there. It's known as Prop 117, and it was came into law a while ago. The Californians made it very clear that they don't want to see mountain lions hunted, trophy hunted.
Right.
So that is illegal in our state, and unlike a lot of other states, but they can be killed by way of, as you said, if they kill livestock, it is possible to get what's called a depredation permit. And those are not uncommon.
How many a year are killed that way?
Unfortunately, it depends how many are actually used, but on average, changes each year, but on average, there are about 200 or more given out each year.
Wow. And how many lions that we know of die of other causes, like poisoning? Rat poison, I know, is a big thing, or being hit by cars.
Well, that's a good question. Nationwide, we know that over 3,000 mountain lions are reported as dying a year. That's a lot. And there are, of course, others that we don't know about. I even know of one. I went hiking a couple years ago south of Crest, where I take the dogs, and one of my dogs is a tracking dog, and actually found a carcass of a mountain lion that had been poached, its head and tail removed. Aww. So I knew it was a poaching incident. So even though that's not as common, what we know now, especially in California, and what we're seeing in the news, heck, they're even on 60 Minutes. There was a story about our Los Angelian mountain lions.
Yeah, because kind of a celebrity lion up
yeah,
there.
And so their habitat is becoming fragmented. And you're going to hear that word a lot because it's really important. When you're an animal that needs 150 and can use up to 400 square mile territory, you have to cross roads, and that's dangerous. And so places like Southern California, the number one cause of mortality to mountain lions, right up there at the top, is getting hit by cars.
Do we know how many are killed by cars in California every year?
I don't have a statistic for that, except we've looked at different populations. Like, they recognize 10 different populations just in California. So they tend to study each population at a time. But we do know from radio-collared animals that a lot of them get hit by cars. And the other cause of mortality of mountain lions in many places is also being killed by other males. They're highly territorial.
Yeah, and I should mention both of the lions that were killed in Lakeside that I'm aware of by cars did not have collars, so they may not have shown up
exactly
on any statistic.
Yeah, so that's the other thing is And let me say, one of the most common questions is, how many? How many are there in our county? How many in the state?
Good
and
question.
You're not going to always hear a solid number. And when people ask me, they're not really satisfied because mm-hmm. I don't give a nice statistic. And I'll tell you why. There's a couple reasons. So the first reason is counting mountain lions isn't like counting your children. Okay. It's tough
mm-hmm.
and it changes. It's not static.
They're pretty reclusive too. They tend.
Exactly.
Unlike coyotes that we see all over, they tend to come out and hunt at night when people mm-hmm. aren't up and about.
So number one, it's not easy to get a solid number. And there are models to estimate them because it can really depend on how many males and females and young and older ones, which is dynamic and changes. But there's another reason why, as somebody like myself, I've been a wildlife biologist, conservation biologist for 30 years. And when you look at how we create policy, when you put these numbers out there, as much as they're informative to certain people, then the animal becomes a number. And we ignore the really important things like behavior and dynamics of populations that are even more important
yeah.
overall.
And we'll talk some more about that in a minute. But first, I wanted to go back to the status. There is an effort now by some of the conservation groups, I understand, that are trying to seek endangered species status for mountain lions in at least some California regions. Can you give us some details on that?
Yeah, that's correct. So right now, the Mountain Lion Foundation and the Center for Biological Diversity have petitioned, the formal name of when you propose a species is listed as protected, and this happens to be under the California Endangered Species Act. And that's because their populations have become so fragmented that they literally are in danger of extinction. These different populations are so isolated here in Southern California. We know it's happening from all the research they've done and the DNA research in the LA area. And we suspect it's also happening here in San Diego. There's ongoing research that we're going to hear more about soon as they conclude this, but we definitely do know that mountain lions in this county are not, you'll hear these reports of their numbers are exploding. That's simply not true. They are actually on the decline. So getting a real handle on the nature of that decline is what we're looking at as far as numbers. And it, like I said, it has everything to do with habitat fragmentation and how difficult. Imagine if you had to travel even 100 square miles without coming near people or crossing major highways.
Yeah, and they do. They'll travel, 100 miles in a night or a week or something?
Some can. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They can really move.
Yeah, I know they had one killed in Jamul, and it had been tracked as far as the beach up in Pendleton or mm-hmm. San Clemente or somewhere. It had gone a very long way. If they were to get the endangered species status, what does that mean in terms of how that might affect things like future developments and roadway building and so forth?
One of the really great things about it is that it would push policy where it's lacking now. And that is, like you said, the key word, corridors. When we see developments, when we have roads, expansions, you name it, the thing that is missing are wildlife corridors. And
yeah.
we don't want to wait like Los Angeles is, till the animals are already endangered at risk of extinction. They're putting a wildlife corridor up that is over many lanes, and it's in LA, so it's hugely expensive. You know, it's a lot cheaper to be proactive.
Mm-hmm.
We're not good at that yet. So we have all of these roads and very few wildlife corridors, and we need to maintain them too. For example, there are underpasses. There's one between Mission Gorge and Miramar under the 52. But they've put a fence up.
Oh, well, that's
so there are all these things that aren't rocket science that we can do.
Yeah, and some places
and
they
just don't.
Overpasses, and it's interesting. I've seen photos of these where it's kind of like picture like a bridge with landscaping mm-hmm. on top of it just for wildlife.
We can do that. We can go under roads. Mm-hmm. It's just not a priority when it comes to these developments, and it really needs to be. And that means we have to work it into policy somehow.
So now they might have to mitigate for damage to wildlife habitat, to mountain lion habitat mm-hmm. and corridors if they were declared
endangered. Yeah, because
endangered.
That's the future of the world of mountain lions. Mm-hmm. More people, more development, mm-hmm. more sprawl.
Not just lions. I mean, bobcats, deer, exactly. other kind of large animals would also benefit from these corridors.
Exactly. And that follows to the point that some listeners might have heard how mountain lion is a top predator. Some people call them a keystone predator. But they're like in a house of cards. You pull out that one predator, that top predator, and the whole thing can fall apart. So they really are representative. They are the ultimate canary in the coal mine, because having mountain lions as a top predator means you have a more healthy ecosystem. And when they're removed, and we've seen the results of this through overhunting and other causes.
Right. Kind of like the wolves in Yellowstone.
Exactly. The ecosystem is not the same, and it's worse for losing that top predator. Things are really connected in Mother Nature.
So people who may not know a lot about mountain lions, which, by the way, are also called pumas or cougars, various other names, tell us a little bit about them. What do they eat?
So, yes, we do know a lot of things like that about them. And their number one top prey are deer. If there are elk around, they also like elk. They're cats. So they have a wide variety of prey, but we know for sure deer are right up there, the majority of what they like to
number
eat.
Number one entree, venison.
Yeah. Okay. And that is important to know, because if you have a lot of deer that overgraze because now there are no mountain lions, they've been hunted out, then that's a problem for the entire ecosystem. And it's not a problem, by the way, that has been resolved by human hunting. We hear that. It doesn't work that way.
Well, I read a very interesting story that said, on the East Coast, where the East Coast cougar is now extinct, they've had an explosion of deer, which means an explosion of deer ticks, which means an explosion of Lyme disease mm-hmm. and other tick-borne illnesses. So you're right. It's like John Muir used to say, you know, everything in nature is kind of hitched to everything else.
It is. We don't just wax poetic for the fun of it. It's true. And there are other things that deer can have that are a problem, like a wasting disease. And mountain lions will pick off these deer first because they're easier to catch. If they're slower, they're diseased. Hunters don't do that.
No, I hear complaints from hunters locally. There's been one local backcountry forum, you know, where there's people have sort of railed about this, and they contend that they're not seeing as many deer as they used to, and they blame that on the mountain lions. Mm-hmm. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, I've heard that. And I do have to say, like I said, after 30 years of studying all kinds of predators, my pet peeve is that often hunters are interviewed as if they're experts, mm-hmm. and they aren't. The biologists are the experts. And I'm sorry, but we're not in the fantastical days of Last of the Mohicans with Natty Bumppo. The more hunters put out their opinions, that's adopted as fact. And that's unfortunate, because that leads to a lot of misnomers, such as, like you say, about the deer. I have heard lately this idea that we have fewer deer and therefore mountain lions are going to fill in the blank. That's actually not true. We don't suddenly have plummeting deer populations.
And how do we know this? Is there a count that's done?
They do study deer. You know, deer are top animal species that people like to hunt. So the agencies do pay attention
because
quite a bit.
They decide how many permits to issue.
Exactly.
Each year. Okay. So and it should be noted, too, that of course, even if there was a decline in the deer population in some years, it's not necessarily because of lions. We have a lot of wildfires, for instance, that burn a lot of habitat.
Oh, it's
there's
certain,
climate change. That's
yeah, it was, certainly won't be because of lions, because there's a predator-prey balance that's been going on well before humans ever got here. So the reason this idea of fewer deer is popping up is, from what I can see, is that because there's always some people who live in the backcountry and they see a mountain lion, or they have a goat or a sheep that they has been predated. So they immediately think mountain lion, which is certainly possible. It's actually quite rare, but we know it's possible. And so they then was, oh, what's happening? What's happening? They're switching prey. Nope. If you house your livestock in the backcountry and they're easy to get to, you don't bring them in, you don't have a roof over your pen or what have you, they're a snack waiting.
So you should keep your livestock in at night, your sheep, your mm-hmm. goats, and so forth. What else could be done to protect livestock? And we should mention not only from mountain lions, but what's actually much more common is coyotes mm-hmm. taking, say, a goat or a sheep. What else can people do if they own livestock to protect them without having to go get a predation permit to kill a lion if they believe that a lion might be a threat in their area?
Good question. Two-pronged answer. So the first thing to be aware of is that you get a depredation permit if you know it's a mountain lion, not just because you're guessing. People who do that need to know that when you remove a mountain lion from habitat, especially places like ours where they're so fragmented and they're really vying for good habitat, another one's going to move in eventually. So you are not, it's not a long-term solution.
So what is
the problem? The long-term solution is to treat your livestock just like you would your beloved house pet, where you keep them safe. And if you're not sure how to do that, there are groups that can help you. The Mountain Lion Foundation loves to go out and help show you how to build it, make it safe. For example, there's no fencing that's tall enough, unless you live in the Chrysler Building, to keep a mountain lion out. You need a roof. You need to bring them in. And I have spoken to so many people in different states who've complained, ranchers who've complained that their sheep or their goats have been taken by a mountain lion. Come to find out, oftentimes it wasn't a mountain lion. And if and when it was, it's because they didn't bring them in to housing at night that kept them safe, quite simply.
Now, I know sometimes a rancher may have a very large herd and maybe doesn't have the resources right now to go build a huge barn. Is having certain types of shepherd dogs another option to protect your herd?
Yep, there's definitely a couple breeds of dogs that are excellent and are used by more commercial ranchers to mm-hmm. help, and they work. And in fact, depending, sometimes even donkeys and other things can be good watchdogs. Depends on the scenario and the size.
Yeah.
What I always say is that our solutions, because ultimately we are smarter than the mountain lion, so we just have to apply what we know. And there are a lot of people who really are willing to help you. Let's say you don't have what you need to build this or to find the right dog. And there are lots of resources out there. We have that on our website.
What about methods of hazing to keep a lion away, such as with lights or noise or motion sensors?
Yeah, in fact, one of the amendments to California state law is that in areas, especially around LA, where mountain lions are so rare now, probably endangered, you can't seek a depredation permit right away when your livestock has knowingly been predated by a mountain lion. Instead, the first thing you have to do is try hazing, something non-lethal, and often can work. Lights, noises. Mountain lions are extremely reclusive, and even though food is a very powerful motivation, mm-hmm. we all know that, they can be scared off. There was actually an interesting study done just recently about just the voice of humans and how much different wildlife species avoid
it. That was funny.
It.
A particular voice, I understand.
Yes.
Drove the mountain lions away.
And the mountain lions and a host of other species, not surprisingly, really avoided just our voices. And when you think about it, we know mountain lions are out there seeing us way more than we see them. And if they truly wanted us, if we were on the menu, there'd be a heck of a lot more of us being attacked by mountain lions.
Exactly.
So,
the study you alluded to is the one that I read, at least, mentioned that they were actually playing voices of Rush Limbaugh and the mountain lions didn't like that.
The researchers played recordings of Rush Limbaugh, and then when they were reviewing the data, they had to listen to him, and they said they got so tired of it that they decided instead to read poetry.
Oh, that's funny.
But the mountain lions did not like that either. Sorry,
oh, really?
Robert Frost.
So it was just the voice. It was the voice. Person. That's funny.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, some of you may not know if you've had a lion come to visit your neighborhood. I know where I live, Mount Helix area, there's been one spotted as close as a couple of houses away from me. None of us knew this until a neighbor went out late one night with a stream behind and saw one, and there was a second sighting nearby. But they do have some very unusual sounds, and it's not what you might think. This is not the MGM lion roar, or the Lion King kind of sounds. Tell us about that, Renee.
Yeah, and they're quite different, whether it's from African lions or jaguars. And some people will describe one as you've probably heard it described as a woman screaming. Well, that call is actually the female calling in mates.
Let's take a listen and hear what that sounds like. Wow, that would be kind of scary to hear at night.
Yeah, it's striking. Yeah. But interestingly, too, you can get this 100-plus-pound animal calling its kits or a big kit calling mom, and they don't sound like some large predator.
Let's listen to that. Wow, it almost sounds like birds chirping.
Yeah, and it can be even softer. So
if you hear that in the middle of the night, don't go out with your binoculars looking for the songbirds.
Yeah, so like I said, it's a mysterious creature regarding a lot of its movements and behavior. We are starting to open that door more and learn more. And one of the important things, getting back to this question of how many are there, I mean, there are not hundreds in San Diego County, I can tell you that. Hmm. But also, when we start looking at them as a number or a chess piece, we lose the concept that even when they're solitary, like this species tends to be, they still have an important behavioral dynamic within the population. And let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. More recent studies have shown that you'll hear a lot of hunters say, or agencies in other states say, well, we need to hunt them so that we will have reduced livestock predation, maybe, or fewer interactions, maybe. Well, the more recent research has shown that that doesn't work that way. In fact, hunters tend to go for the big trophies. And so the more hunting, the more you tend to get younger animals surviving, and they're more naive, mm-hmm. and they tend to be the ones that might be moving closer into urbanized areas.
It's a lot like with coyotes, I've heard, where if you kill the alpha male, you're just going to have another one move right in, and they'll breed, and you'll wind up with even more of them than before.
It's true with so many species. When you remove the older, wiser animals, and we're usually talking about species where there is higher brain function and learning, but not necessarily. Even when you remove older fish, the dynamics of the population can change drastically. We need that as a bigger picture of how we manage these animals.
Fascinating. Well, they're just gorgeous animals. They're quite amazing. You've mentioned that when deer are not available, they're a little bit opportunistic, and that they can even eat other animals, including coyotes.
They do. And what they eat and what percentage of prey they eat varies somewhat, depending on whether you're in Texas or here or Arizona.
Yeah, it might be cats or dogs, but, you know.
Yeah, but it's still always going to be deer and then maybe elk or maybe bighorn sheep, depending exactly where you are.
Yeah.
But they certainly will take other smaller animals,
especially raccoons,
porcupines. If you are the famous P-22 in Los Angeles, and you have a tiny isolated habitat of 9 square miles, maybe at most, it's hard to move around because of all the freeways, they're going to start eating other things like porcupines, raccoons, house cats, coyotes, foxes.
Even hopped into the LA Zoo and helped himself to a koala.
And this one got a poor koala. Yeah. So it's not as simplistic a question that some people pose of a reduction in deer numbers. Mm-hmm. It's more one of movement and access. If you're a mountain lion and it's hard to move and there are other males around that will kill you, life gets complicated.
Well, we should mention on the pet issue that while certainly there are plenty of cases of mountain lions taking a cat or a dog, it's very common for coyotes to do that. And even hawks, eagles, owls will go after a small dog. Mm-hmm. So it's just a good idea, folks, to keep those pets inside, especially at night. A smaller dog probably all the time unless you're out there.
Exactly.
And
I mean, as humans, we think we're separate from nature, and this is the problem. We go about our day, we go to the grocery store, we lived in the city part of the time, but you know, nature's always going to be there, and mm-hmm. it's always going to come uninvited or not. So we're the smarter ones, so it's up to us to protect our animals, our pets, as best we can, and if we don't, shame on us.
Now, what about ourselves? If we like to go hiking or mountain biking or things like that back in these backcountry areas on the trails, what precautions should you take to make sure that you're protected against mountain lions?
Well, and that's a good question in that it's different than maybe if you've lived in bear country, what to do. It's different for mm-hmm. different species.
It is, yeah. And you don't, so, and I understand with one of those differences, with a bear, they always tell you if you see a bear, you know, roll up in a little ball and put your hands over your heads. And that's exactly what you don't want to do with a lion.
Yeah. So lions, you want to try and intimidate them. If you really think there's a lion, you see a lion and it's not going anywhere, you get big, you make noise. You don't run. You don't play dead.
You hold your hands up and over your head and wave a walking
but that's
stick around.
So incredibly rare as a biologist doing surveys out in the field in remote areas for many years. I've seen them in the wild twice in California. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I've seen some also where I worked in South America, but still incredibly rare. So when people ask me, what do? I say, take a picture.
Yeah, there's only been a handful of fatal mountain lion attacks decades.
In 100 years in all of North America, and we're talking all of Canada and Mexico mm-hmm. as well, in mm-hmm. the past 100 years, 20 fatalities.
Yeah, so very, very, very few.
Even though I know it sounds scary to think of an animal attacking you, you are at much, much greater risk when you get in a car or your tub than when you are out hiking in mountain lion country.
What about carrying something like bear spray or pepper spray as a precaution, of course, not only against a mountain lion, but maybe a human predator?
Sure,
as well.
I do. I carry pepper spray. And like you said, I'm not really anticipating a mountain lion encounter. It's more so if there's a sketchy person or somebody with dogs who really are out of control. I've never had to use it.
Yeah, an aggressive
But it just
wild
makes
dog.
Sense. Yeah.
Good point. Or a wild boar. Some of those areas have those too. What else can we do if we care about protecting mountain lions? What else can we do locally to help give them a better chance?
To give them a better chance, there's one easy thing you can do without even leaving your house, and that's not to use rodenticides. So anything that kills rats, and it's not just a matter of you're putting out rat poison and mountain lions are going to eat rats. It's what we call bioaccumulation. So the mountain lions eat something that ate the rats.
Yeah.
And this, they are finding this in more and more mountain lions. They're really quite surprised. And it might not kill them right away. Sometimes it's the bioaccumulation really goes after their immune system and compromises it. And you'll see mountain lions having things like mange that is unusual for them. And so this is a growing problem. And there are more laws, you know, yay, California, we've got more rules now mm-hmm. banning certain types of rat poisons, but they're not all banned.
Yeah, all of them are very harmful, not only to the lions, but to
owls, house
hawks,
cats,
coyotes,
you name it. Yeah, so we want to really move away from poisons.
We should say there are alternatives to poisons. Mm-hmm. For example, my property, you know, we have hawks that have moved in. Some people get owl boxes. Mm-hmm. One pair of owls or hawks can pretty well clear out a few square miles of rodents, I understand. My property, we have a gopher snake, and that snake is really welcome. One year, a neighbor killed a 6 or 7 foot gopher snake, and our yard looked like Caddyshack the next spring, and we were delighted when another gopher snake moved in. So that plus, you know, of course, traps the old-fashioned way, or now they have those electronic traps. There are a lot of other options.
There are other options, and it's, as you say, it's certainly the worst option is poison. And there's also things mechanical you can do if rats are your problem, excluding them from where you don't want them to be and removing attractants, garbage, things Correct. Like that, and helping educate Netting your neighbors. You know, if your neighbors have a bunch of trash out and the rats are going to wander over your place, maybe you could help them solve that problem.
Or putting nets over fruit trees, things like that. Mm-hmm. What else can people do to help mountain lions?
So being educated on exactly the role they play and why they're important does matter, because, you know, you don't protect something you don't care about.
Right.
And so learning the myths out there about how they're not dangerous predators stalking us or your children as a rule, and how they play an integral role, how they help maintain biodiversity, and the interconnected web that they are at the top of. And so protecting them is really protecting a whole lot of aspects of habitat. So it's kind of in one fell swoop. You know, when you create a functional wildlife corridor, they're not the only ones who are going to be using it. And we hit many millions of animals a year on our roads.
Yes,
that has to stop.
I agree with you on that, Renee. There are also some organizations that you can support that are working to protect mountain lions and other animals. Obviously, there's the Mountain Lion Foundation. I think their site is mountainlionfoundation.org. That's one. Renee, tell us about your organization, which is locally based here in San Diego, Wild Zone Conservation League, which you can find at wildzoneconservation.org.
Yeah, thanks for that. We are a nonprofit that we've done research on various species. We don't do hands-on mountain lion research. What we really do is look at the interaction between the public and wildlife. And we've got some things going on right now. We do citizen science, and certainly not just with mountain lions. We do some with butterflies and birds and marine mammals. So there's some information on our website, but I welcome you to contact me at the email on our website with any and all questions. We're really good and always willing to come out to any venue and give a talk on something that has to do with our local habitats, our wildlife, that you have any questions about, from impacts and how we can prevent wildfire from harming our homes, to pest species, to things for children, for adults, and we gear our talks for the audience. So
we'd love to
come and chat with you about wildlife.
Well, that all sounds fascinating, and it's just such an important topic these days with development and climate change and rat poisons and freeways and all these things impacting not only the mountain lions like we've been talking about, but so many of our other species. A lot of people may not know that San Diego is one of the most biodiverse counties in America, and it'd be great to keep it that way.
Yes, it would. And it's a struggle. You know, we need, as our population grows, people have to go somewhere. And so you can see, not only is the ecosystem connected, so many of our issues are connected to wildlife in ways you would never imagine. You know, when we promote corridors and ending sprawl, we're also promoting curtailing climate change and better high-density affordable housing in places that aren't out in the backcountry. So it really is all connected.
Yeah, it is. Renee, sometimes when a mountain lion is seen near people, as in occurred recently in Peñasquitos, where they unfortunately wound up killing a lion, we often hear that the lion is behaving abnormally. It's lost its fear of people. Is that true? Does that really happen very often?
No, it doesn't happen. And unfortunately, you'll read that a lot in the media. And it's a real knee-jerk reaction to the fact that mountain lions are out there and humans are out there. And the more we're out there in their habitat, the more we're going to come across each other. That does in no way mean that they've lost their fear of us. They're very afraid of us. And if they weren't, we'd be seeing a heck of a lot more of them, given how often we are out hiking and camping and doing whatever in the backcountry.
So that incident, it could have just been, what, a child that got maybe too close to a mother with cubs, something like that?
Or? Well, anything. I mean, a wild animal sees humans as a threat. So there are a host of different reactions that they can have. Usually it's just going to be to get away and avoid us. But before that happens, it might look at us, it might hiss, it might growl, it might check us out. Oftentimes when I've been tracking predators, I will find, depending on the species, whether it's a coyote or something else, if you're following one, or I found this with jaguar, where we study them in Venezuela, we'd be tracking them, and then before we know it, we'd be end up in a circle and find that they were tracking us.
Interesting.
So we are a threat, and some species like to keep an eye on us to make sure, say, like you said, if they do have a den or pups nearby, knowing where the threat is and being aware of it is important if you're a wild animal. So let's not interpret behavior of an animal looking at us, being around us, as losing their fear. It's just not accurate.
Right. Or even, you know, the rare case where there is an attack, it's certainly not indicative of all mountain lions everywhere.
No. And food is a very powerful motivator, though it still comes up against millions of years of evolution that say people are not on the menu, pretty much.
Okay. Well, I really want to thank you for joining us today. If you just tuned in, we have been speaking today with Renee Owens with Wild Zone Conservation League, which you can find out more about at wildzoneconservation.org. We've been talking about mountain lions and efforts to protect and save these beautiful animals here in California. Renee, thanks so much for joining us here today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ.
Thanks so much. This was a lot of fun.